Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
Joining us now in the Saitama Hotlines, first ballot Hall of Famer, named to 8 All-Star teams while with the Atlanta Braves, 1999 NL MVP, Chipper Jones. Welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, appreciate you coming on, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, dude. I mean, you and I are about the same age, and I feel you when it comes to catching foul balls, man. That's all.
Yeah, that was the you know what? I would have never even attempted that. If you go back and look, I got my 3- and 4-year-old right next to me. And if there was any way to avoid, getting out of there and not taking part in that, I would have. I just felt like that ball was kind of curving back and could possibly hit him or bounce and hit him. And he threw caution to the wind. I got a 10-time gold glover sitting on the other side of the aisle on Andrew Jones, and he just sat there like a bump on a log, didn't call me off. I'm used to him calling me off of those.
Well, that's what I'm supposed to say. If the center fielder can get to it, he's supposed to get it.
Exactly. He's got free reign over everybody. I've got, you know, at third base, you know, shortstop's got free reign over me. The outfielder's got free reign. I'm the hitter in the bunch, not the fielder.
I hear you, big guy. What are you up to now? I know you're doing a little work with the Braves, but what else you got going on?
Yeah, I'm a Major League hitting consultant. I'm there for pretty much all of the home games with the Atlanta Braves. I don't travel with the club, so I'm pretty busy with that. I got 7 boys, ranging from 23 all the way down to 3. Baseball games, football games, school, what have you, takes up a pretty good bit. And I still got the outdoor hunting show on Sportsman Channel called Major League Bow Hunter that I partner with Matt Duff, who was a ex-Major League pitcher with the St. Louis Cardinals for a while. And, yeah, we chased big old whitetails all over the Midwest. Starting here about Thursday, I go to Kansas for the first time.
What are you hunting with? Are you bow hunting or using a rifle or what?
Yeah, we're strictly bow, strictly free range in the Midwest, mostly. I shouldn't say just whitetails. We'll get out and chase some elk and mule deer, you know, way out west in Mexico, Montana, Colorado, stuff like that. But our big thing is chasing those big, mature Midwest whitetails.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk to you about baseball, but I'm kind of curious about some of this. I mean, when you go out on these excursions, what are some of the biggest challenges you have to deal with as far as getting your mind right and going out there and really trying to bring back the best deer you can?
Well, it's a challenge for me because I'm scared to death of heights. Yeah, uh-huh. I get about 10 feet off the ground, and, man, I start trembling like a leaf. So having to, you know, get 20, 25 foot up a tree sometimes. Luckily, we have these lifelines that we can – be safe with, climb and get down with and not worry about anything. So that's a big relief for me. But obviously, you know, getting in the hip pocket of some of these big deer is tough in and of itself. You know, with just one person, you add another person up in the tree with you with a camera right over your shoulder, twice as much scent. You know, it's very tough to get in the hip pockets of these big whitetails, but we've got a pretty good track record. I think we're about to start filming our 12th year with Major League Bow Hunter, and look forward to every October and Halloween because that's when it gets right in the Midwest.
How are you out there with a camera crew hunting deer who can hear and smell everything 2 miles away?
We're super stealthy, buddy.
Ninjas.
We walk between the dried up leaves. You know, they can't hear us coming.
I don't know, Chipper, man. I got to tell you, this sounds kind of contrived to me. I want to see how they're editing this because I'm thinking there's two different things going on here. Maybe they already have them out there and you just go. I don't know how you can be that quiet. I really don't.
It's a challenge. I mean, obviously, you know, their senses are so much more keen than ours. And, you gotta walk between the raindrops and be super stealthy. You gotta get in early, you know, when they're out on the destination fields, you know, eating and laying up, you got to get right there in their bedroom. So then when they, you know, come back into bed, you're sitting there waiting on them. That's mostly what we do. And then vice versa, we'll sit on the destination fields in the afternoon while they're bedded up and wait for them to come eat.
We're joined by Hall of Famer and Super Hunter, Chipper Jones. He's walking between the leaves. You can follow him on Twitter at RealCJ10. And Chip, it's been a while, buddy, since you got out of baseball, since you retired, and lots happened since then, not only to you but to the game. And the game I watch now is different than the game I grew up with, the game you grew up with. I want to get your opinion on a few things. First of all, Chipper Jones, if he's playing in 2021, is he flipping his bat after a home run?
Not unless provoked. I think I may have I may have felt like I got shown up a couple of times in my career, and I certainly got a little retribution for that. But no, I'm of the, you know, the Freddie Freeman ilk, you know, just hit it and watch it carry out of the ballpark and run the bases and be a professional. And the thing about it is, you know, the game, if you go down to Latin America and watch the Caribbean World Series, you see a lot of this, you know, a lot of flair and dramatics and whatnot. And the game nowadays is coming from Latin America. There's a ton of great Latin American players in the game today, and they're bringing that flash and that flair with them, and it's taken over. And, you know, to be honest with you, it doesn't bother me as much as it used to. I think if somebody took exception to it and, stuck one between the two numbers in the middle of someone's back because they felt like they showed them up, I got no problem with that either. I'm old school, and, you know, some guys don't feel, you know, the same way I do. But the game is always going to police itself. There's no doubt whether the commissioner – and I use that term lightly, or, you know, baseball in general, whether they like it or not, it's gonna police itself. And if people don't like something, they're going to take matters into their own hands. And sometimes people are going to get upset and we're going to have a fight.
Well, I'm glad you said that. You're talking about the game policing itself. And one of the big stories for about the past year, definitely since the summer, pitchers scuffing baseballs, it seems to be becoming more and more prevalent. But I disagree. I think it's always happened. We just haven't been very good at catching them. I think about Mike Scott in 1986, what he did to the Mets. Can you kind of give me your take on it? How prevalent was it when you played, and how was it compared to what's going on now?
Oh, it was there. It was definitely there. I can remember one of my first year or two in the big leagues. You know, there was a ground ball hit to shortstop, and we were throwing it around, and it had a giant scuff on it. And it got to me, and I threw it out, and Greg Maddux went up one side of me and down the other. Don't you ever throw a baseball out. I will throw the baseball out. Don't you ever throw it out. And I learned a valuable lesson that day that, the scuff, you know, put – at the right spot right there in the horseshoe of a baseball can do some crazy things. Now, Greg Maddux could make a ball do, you know, whatever he wanted regardless. And I don't think most guys know, you know, how to pitch with a scuff baseball nowadays. You know, they'll throw a ball out if it's foul tipped into the catcher's mitt. You know, I mean, it's crazy. Now they got to go through, you know, 10, 12 dozen balls a game, which is crazy to me.
Was there a pitcher that you knew that he was going to be scuffing each and every time you saw him? Was there one in your career that you're like, man, here we go again?
Oh, yeah, and it was on the same team. John Burkett and Billy Swift with the San Francisco Giants. And I know for a fact that it happened because John Burkett came over and pitched with the Braves for a while. And between the pine tar and the scuffs, it was crazy what he did to try and manipulate the baseball.
Well, how did that make you feel, though? I mean, at the end of the day, it's still the hardest thing in the world to hit a baseball, even when it's not being manipulated by a foreign substance or whatever. I mean, did that make you angry, or did you just go, it is what it is, you got to go out there and hit?
Yeah, back in the day, I think it was kind of accepted. You know, we didn't really complain. You know, especially being a young guy like me, I couldn't really complain or say anything. I'm just going to go up there. If you throw it over that 17 inches, I'm going to whack it. That was my philosophy, and I knew our guys were doing, you know, some stuff too. So I didn't want to, you know, bring on any attention to our guys if they were intentionally scuffing the ball or intentionally putting a foreign substance on the ball. So yeah, it was just kind of understood. You know, I mean, you know, you can sit there and say the same thing about the steroid era. You knew, you know, who was probably doing it and whatnot, but yeah, I mean, it was so, you know, rampant back in the day that, you know, we'll let the people speculate. Don't bring any attention onto it ourselves.
Well, Chip, I wasn't even going to go in that direction, but since I've got the opportunity, those guys who you knew were taking it, those guys who have been proven to taking performance enhancing substances back in the day, the ones that had really, really good numbers, do they get in the Hall of Fame, or do they have their own wing, or what? How do you handle them?
That's a good question, because I think there are some suspected guys already in, mm-hmm. you know, the Hall of Fame. So there's really a gray area, you know, there. I can only speak from my personal opinion, you know, obviously having to play the same position as guys who have admittedly, you know, taking it and won MVPs and, you know, won home run titles and, you know, silver sluggers and all this, kind of made all-star teams, you know, over me. It bugs me a little bit. And to be honest with you, I'd be lying if I didn't, you know, contemplate at some point, mm-hmm. you know, maybe up in the ante a little bit with my own personal performance. But then, you know, you sit back and you say to yourself, man, can I look my dad in the eye, who I worked with every single day of my life, honing my skills and honing my game? Could I look him in the face knowing that I cheated to get where I was? And the answer was no, I wouldn't have been able to. And that far outweighed, you know, whatever statistics waited for me at the end of the season. You know, I had some pretty good years myself, you know, doing it the right way and playing the game the right way. And now that I'm done, I'm proud that I made that decision.
Well, Chipper, before we let you go, let me ask you this, and keep in mind, you're a Hall of Famer. You're what you're about to tell me carries significant weight, and this is a very important question near and dear to my heart. Should Pete Rose be with you in the Hall of Fame?
I think, man, if Pete would have just come clean and apologized right away, and, you know, obviously the numbers speak for themselves. From a baseball player standpoint, there is no discussion on whether he should be in or not. Every first day of every spring training, the assistant general manager comes into every single clubhouse in Major League Baseball and warns you of what will happen if you gamble on the game of baseball. And that means that you are banned for life. And that's, you know, that's something that's been, you know, ingrained into our minds, our hearts, our souls since 1992, when I first got to spring training. Man, it's a tough one. I know it's split right down the middle. It's probably not split right down the middle as far as Pete goes. You know, nowadays I think people are ready to see him go in, but the rules are the rules, and I stand by whatever Major League Baseball says.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, 8-time All Star, 1999 MVP. You can follow him on Twitter at RealCJ10. Chipper, buddy, it's been a blast. Please, please, please don't fall out of a tree stand. Please, please, please.
I'll try my best, boys. It was good talking to y'all.
All righty, buddy. Appreciate you. It's Hall of Famer Chipper Jones. You can follow him on Twitter at RealCJ10.